Hello and welcome to the Arizona Capital Times on Sun Sounds. My name is John Coe. I am in Flagstaff and I will be your volunteer reader for today, reading articles that were published in the Arizona Capital Times on or about November 15th, 2024. Headline: LD17 candidate John McLean killed in car crash. Written by Jacob Thorington and published in the Arizona Capital Times on November 15, 2024. The Tucson Police Department confirmed on Friday that a candidate who ran for state senate died in a vehicular accident. A department news release said Democrat John McLean died in a collision with an impaired driver. Tucson emergency responders were called at 6 a.m. Friday to respond to the accident. McLean, 68, was pronounced deceased at the scene. McLean ran for Senate in Legislative District 17. He trailed Republican Vince Leach at the time of his death. Police determined through interviews and roadway evidence that McLean was driving eastbound on Broadway Boulevard in a 2019 Toyota RAV4 at the time of the accident. The other driver, Michael Martin Creel, was driving a 2018 Ford Explorer and failed to stop at a posted stop sign, according to the police news release. Creel hit the passenger side of McLean's vehicle at a speed officers are still trying to determine. An officer determined Creel, 27, was allegedly impaired at the time of the collision. Creel was jailed on suspicion of manslaughter and aggravated drunken driving. He is currently being held in the Pima County Jail. Several Republican and Democratic legislators expressed their condolences upon learning of McLean's death, first reported by the Arizona Daily Star. Leach said McLean was a good man who conducted himself honorably as a candidate. Quote, "My deepest condolences go out to John's family and friends at this most difficult time. As a third-generation Arizonan, the lives John positively touched during his lifetime are incalculable, and we shall all be fortunate to do the same." Representative Consuelo Hernandez, a Democrat from Tucson, said in a post on X that McLean was filled with so much hope for the future. Quote, "He was one of the few people who made it a point to greet every volunteer, learn their names, and thank every person. What a loss. My condolences to his family," Hernandez wrote. A post from X from Senate Democrats said the caucus was heartbroken to learn of McLean's death. Quote, "He spent his final days fighting for a better Arizona, and we could not be more thankful for his work and dedication to our great state. We extend our deepest sympathies to John's family and loved ones," Senate Republicans wrote in the post. Headline: Hobbs not to blame for Dems' failure to flip legislature, consultants say. Written by Reagan Priest and published in the Arizona Capital Times on November 15, 2024. One of Governor Katie Hobbs' main priorities this election season was flipping the legislature, but Republican majorities only grew. Political consultants say the blame for Democrats' losses don't lie solely with the governor. Hobbs said for months that her two goals were flipping the legislature and passing Proposition 139, which enshrines abortion rights in the state constitution of Arizona. Proposition 139 passed handily on November 5th, but Democrats ended up even further from the legislative majority than they expected. On November 14th, Hobbs said at a press conference that she wouldn't have done anything differently in this election cycle. Quote, "We did what we needed to do, and I'm going to work with the legislature that Arizonans elected," Hobbs said. The Arizona Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee, which Hobbs worked closely with during the election cycle, released a statement that attributed the strengthened Republican majorities to top-of-the-ticket trends. Quote, "Across the country, down-ballot Democrats worked tirelessly to combat top-of-the-ticket trends," said ADLCC Executive Director Elsa O'Callaghan in a statement. Quote, "It is now clear that those trends proved to be insurmountable." Some Republicans started pointing fingers at Hobbs, saying her political clout was hurtful and not helpful to the Democratic candidates that she stumped for. But consultants on both sides of the aisle aren't so sure. Quote, blaming her for this is convenient but inaccurate, said Stacey Pearson, a Democratic campaign consultant. I get that because she made this a public priority, that she's going to get the public criticism, but this is not that. Pearson said she attributes the losses across the ballot to a lack of focus from Democrats on registering more voters to counteract the Republicans' voter registration advantage. Quote, this is not an admonishment of her leadership, Pearson said. This is a much bigger scenario in the state of Arizona where new residents are moving here and they're not registering as Democrats. It is a much, much bigger national landscape. Barrett Marson, a Republican consultant, also highlighted national trends as a possible explanation for Arizona's Democratic losses. Quote, I don't think Arizona's election results are on Katie Hobbs because I think there was a mood among voters that transcends state politics, Marson said. He also placed blame on fundraising and messaging from the Democrats, saying money was wasted by not talking about big ticket issues like the economy and the border. Marson said Hobbs will need to keep those trends in mind as she heads into the next legislative session, because voters will likely be thinking of similar issues when she is expected to run again for re-election in 2026. Quote, she'll have to read these election results and see that she may have to tack a little right. She may have to negotiate a little more with the legislative Republicans and sign some of the things that maybe she opposes or isn't a fan of, because clearly voters preferred Republicans in the 2024 election up and down the ballot, Marson said. No Republican challengers have officially announced their candidacy for governor yet, but some Republicans are floating rumors that the Democrats may find someone to replace Hobbs at the top of the ticket. Both Pearson and Marson say a primary challenge to Hobbs is highly unlikely. Quote, get in at your own peril if somebody wants to come in, but it's just that's not how the infrastructure works, Pearson said. I think folks that are encouraging or wishing for or are optimistic about a Democratic primary are just doing it for the publicity value. It's not going to happen. Pearson and Marson both said Hobbs' massive campaign war chest and proven fundraising abilities will be a huge deterrent for any Democratic challenger. Hobbs spent much of her campaign funds on legislative races this year, but had nearly $3 million in cash on hand before the election. Marson said that doesn't mean Hobbs should rest on her incumbent advantage. As he said, he believes she will face an even stronger Republican challenger in 2026 than she did in 2022 when she squared off against Carrie Lake. Quote, she still has several million dollars in the bank and a record to run on, but it's not got to be a record. It has to be more than just vetoes, Marson said. She is the veto queen. There's no doubt about that. That veto stamp works overtime, but she's going to have to tell voters what she has done and what she is for, not just what she is against. Headline. GOP strengthens control of legislature, wins in swing districts. Written by Jacob Thorington and published in the Arizona Capital Times on November 14th, 2024. Republicans are set to gain ground in both chambers of the state legislature after securing victories in several battleground districts. Election results are not final yet, but all four legislative caucuses felt confident enough in results so far to hold leadership elections, which, with current races, unlikely to change. Republicans will have picked up two seats in the House to expand their majority to 33-27, while Senate Republicans have picked up one seat and expanded their majority 17-13. Quote, it's just clear now that there's been a general repudiation of what Democrat politics and policies have been, said House Speaker Ben Thoma, a Republican from Peoria. I think the governor has failed on a number of her priorities, and it's over. It's pretty clear that Arizona has spoken pretty definitively. Three of the state's swing districts that were vital in helping Democrats reduce GOP majorities completely flipped red, including legislative districts 4, 13, and 16. In LD4, Representative Matt Grass, a Republican from Phoenix, and Republican Pamela Carter beat Democrats Kelly Butler and Karen Gresham, taking a House seat from Democrats. Republicans also gained a Senate seat in that district after Karine Werner beat Senator Christine Marsh, a Democrat from Phoenix. Quote, "It was a pretty big win," Gress said of her district. "I think this district performed the way we understand it should be performing, which is a center-right district. And when you talk about the issues that matter to Arizonans, cost of living, safe neighborhoods, great schools, that resonates with these voters in a big way." Gress said Marsh was a tough candidate to beat in the district, with her serving in the Senate since 2020 and having big fundraising dollars go toward her in recent elections. In this election cycle, Marsh raised almost $500,000, according to her most recent campaign finance report. In a written statement conceding to Werner, Marsh said, quote, "My only regret is that I wanted to accomplish so much more. I had hoped that I would serve in the majority party during my tenure as your state senator." Republicans took a House seat in LD-13 with incumbent Representative Julie Willoughby and former state representative Jeff Weniger beating both their Democrat opponents, Nicholas Gonzalez and Brandi Reiss. In LD-16, Representative Keith Seaman, a Democrat from Casa Grande, lost to Republican Chris Lopez. Democratic consultant Gael Esposito said she believed the part of the Republican gains in the House were due to ambitious Democrat strategies of running multiple candidates in districts where they ran only one candidate in recent years. LD-4 and LD-13 Democrats ran two House candidates. In 2022, when they had House seats in both districts, only one Democrat ran for the House. Democrat Stephanie Simisek is leading her House race in GOP-leaning LD-2 as a single-shot candidate, and Democrat Kevin Volk is leading his House race as a single-shot candidate in LD-17. This district isn't considered competitive by the Arizona Independent Redistricting Commission, but has seen support for Democrat candidates among voters. Quote, "I wouldn't feel great fundamentally if I were Republicans. This was the best partisan environment that they could have asked for, and this is all they got," Esposito said. Republicans also performed well in LD-23, which has been projected by the Redistricting Commission to be a safe blue district. Representative Michelle Pena, a Republican from Yuma, got the most votes in the House race against Representative Mariana Sandoval, a Democrat from Goodyear, and Matias Rosales. Republican Michelle Altair was also about 3 percentage points behind Senator Brian Fernandez, a Democrat from Yuma. Democrats also led in other swing districts in the House races, LD-9 and LD-2, and appear to have held seats by thin margins there, like Representative Seth Blattman, a Democrat from Mesa, winning by just over 0.5% over Republican Kylie Barber by November 13th. Quote, "We got so close to 34, maybe even 35, Thomas said. It's still a lot better than the initial results on election night, which were at 30-30. GOP consultant Doug Cole said he believes the few seats Republicans picked up will be influential for Republican policy goals, even operating under divided government with Democrat Governor Katie Hobbs. Quote, "The past 4 years, we have been one vote," Cole said. "Sometimes people will need to take a break away, and this will allow them to. Supermajorities are sometimes harder to navigate because you get subgroups that become pretty powerful." Republicans may not have a supermajority, but they do have a subgroup in the Arizona Freedom Caucus, which has sometimes gone against Republican leadership at the legislature. And Cole acknowledged Freedom Caucus Republicans will have influence over the legislature. Quote, "The Freedom Caucus is still as relevant as they always have been because of who the president of the United States is." You're listening to the Arizona Capital Times on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Sun Sounds of Arizona has been providing information access since 1979, and you can always listen to our live stream at sunsounds.org. Headline: Environmental business leaders weigh in on all GOP Corporation Commission. Written by Reagan Priest and published in the Arizona Capital Times on November 15, 2024. In 2025, Republicans will fill all 5 seats on the Arizona Corporation Commission, but clean energy advocates, environmentalists, and business leaders aren't sounding a death knell for their causes. Rachel Walden, Renee Lopez, and incumbent Commissioner Leah Marquez-Peterson were the top 3 vote-getters in the November 5th election to fill the 3 open seats on the ACC. they edged out three Democratic candidates and two Green Party candidates. Democrats Elena Aguilar, Jonathan Hill, and Joshua Polachek ran as an environmentally friendly, climate-focused slate, while Republicans campaigned on lowering utility rates through the free market and a diverse energy portfolio. Sandy Baer, director of the Sierra Club's Grand Canyon chapter, said she was a bit surprised by the results. Quote, "I did not anticipate that the Republicans would sweep it," Baer said. "I thought that there might be at least one or two Democrats, but I knew it was going to be tough." Environmental groups like the Sierra Club and clean energy groups like Advanced Energy United say the supermajority will present challenges to environmental protection rules and the promotion of an alternative energy source. However, the Republicans held all five seats as recently as 2018, while Democrats haven't been the majority since 2010. Currently, the commission has a 4-1 Republican majority. Republican Chair Jim O'Connor and Democratic Commissioner Anna Tovar both decided not to run for re-election. Baer has been an environmental lobbyist at the state capitol for decades and said groups like the Sierra Club are no strangers to working with Republican majorities, whether at the commission, the state legislature, or the governor's office. Quote, "We're expecting to see more of the same, except there won't be dissent on the commission. I think they are likely to have a lot of 5-0 votes," Baer said. She anticipates that the new commission will move forward with repealing the Renewable Energy Standard and Tariff Rules and the Electric Energy Efficiency Resource Standard. The commission enacted two policies in 2006 and 2010, respectively, and they require utility companies to meet certain renewable energy and energy efficiency goals. The commission voted earlier this year to start the process of repealing both standards, despite protests from the lone Democrat on the commission and clean energy advocates. The goals set by both policies have been met, but advocates say repealing the standards will allow utilities to fall behind or reduce progress that has already been made. Baer said she expects the incoming commissioners to defend the commission's June 2024 decision to exempt a Unisource Energy power plant expansion from environmental review. That decision is currently the subject of three lawsuits in Maricopa County Superior Court. Quote, "I know that all sounds really negative, and I just, more than ever, people need to show up and speak up, and especially speak up for those who don't have an opportunity either to come to the legislature or be at the Corporation Commission," Baer said. Michael Barrio, a policy expert with Advanced Energy United, said he has a more optimistic view on working with the new commission. Quote, "The ACC makeup may initially seem challenging for some clean energy advocates, but I feel like for us, it really presents an opportunity to engage with the commission on the economic benefits of clean energy, especially as our energy demands rise and the reliability conversation becomes critical," Barrio said. He said he will be focused on pitching clean energy from an economic growth perspective, which current and future Republican commissioners have indicated is a priority. Quote, "We have to do a better job of emphasizing how things like expanded electric vehicle infrastructure and community solar contribute to local job growth and tax revenue, and how that aligns with a Republican-leaning commission's economic goals," Barrio said. Danny Seaton, president of this and CEO of the Arizona Chamber of Commerce and Industry, said he doesn't think anyone should expect anything drastic moving forward because he believes the commission is focused on the affordability and reliability of utilities. Quote, "I don't think they've said they're against clean energy," Seaton said. "I think they're focused on a lot of renewables." Seaton said the chamber has supported the commission's course in recent years because it brought business to Arizona and benefited the economy. He highlighted how the reliability of the state's energy grid keeps Arizona competitive economically and attributed that to the commission. Quote, "I think the Corporation Commission deserves a lot of respect and a lot of adulation for what they've been able to do," Seaton said. However, the commission has received criticism for its decisions related to renewable energy, environmental protections, and increased utility rates. Headline: Lake, Richer, Settle, Defamation Suit. Written by Howard Fisher for the Arizona Capital Times and published on November 18, 2024. Stephen Richer has settled his defamation lawsuit against Gary Lake. The agreement comes 8 months after Lake conceded in legal papers that she had, in fact, made false statements about the Maricopa County Recorder and that the way he conducted the gubernatorial race, which she lost to Katie Hobbs. Despite that, Lake and her husband, Bruce Halpern, continued to argue that they did not owe Richer anything, or at least very little, saying that there was no evidence that he was actually harmed. No details were released, but an attorney involved in the case confirmed that it was resolved on mutually agreeable terms. In her March filing in Maricopa County Superior Court, Lake effectively defaulted on the lawsuit, acknowledging everything that Richer first alleged. That specifically included that she knew it was false when she claimed he had sabotaged the 2022 election by having ballots printed on the wrong size paper so that they would not be read on site by tabulators. Lake also acknowledged that she knew it was false when she claimed that Richer illegally inserted more than 300,000 phony early ballots into the system. But that did not end the litigation. In a video statement at the time explaining her decision, Lake insisted her legal capitulation had nothing to do with her conceding that what she said was factually wrong, even if that's exactly what was in the legal papers filed in Maricopa County Superior Court. Instead, she said it was a strategic move to allow her to focus her attention on her bid for the United States Senate. Quote, by participating in this lawsuit, it would only serve to legitimize this perversion of our legal system and allow bad actors to interfere with our upcoming election, Lake said. As it turned out, Lake lost to Democrat Ruben Gallego by close to 80,000 votes. Richer, for his part, said Lake's March filing was a total victory for him and his fight to clear his name of charges made by Lake. Quote, it is now official that she accepts all of it, that it was a lie, he told Capital Media Services. Quote, she has been lying the entire time. We have told her that she has been lying the entire time, Richard said. And he said Lake knew she was lying because judges in other election cases that she had filed challenged her loss and found there was no basis for either the claim that the ballots were deliberately missized or that there had been fraudulent ballots inserted into the final count of the election that was won by Democrat Katie Hobbs by 17,117 votes. Quote, and now she officially will have a judgment entered against her for lying about me in connection to the 2022 election, Richer said. In filing suit last year, Richer said that Lake, her campaign, and the Save Arizona Fund, a political action committee which she has used to raise money, all acted with actual malice. That is crucial because, in general, people who are considered public figures, like Richer, cannot get a defamation judgment unless they can prove by clear and convincing evidence that the person making the statement knew it to be false or that the statement was made with reckless disregard for the truth. Lake initially sought to have the case thrown out, claiming that her comments were, quote, mere rhetorical hyperbole and that they were never meant as statements of fact. A trial judge rejected that assertion, a decision upheld earlier this year by the Arizona Supreme Court. That left only two other options for Lake: go to trial or concede. Richer said at the time that based on Lake's record in this case, he presumed that she would choose the former. Quote, I thought, great, we'll relitigate whether 2022 was stolen or not for the umpteenth time, he told Capital Media Services at the time, but apparently she doesn't want to do that. Lake, however, had a different explanation for her decision. Quote, it's called lawfare, weaponizing the legal system to punish, impoverish, and destroy political opponents, she said. Once Lake admitted liability, what that left was figuring out how much she owes Richer, something Lake wanted determined by a jury. In legal filings, Tim Lasota, one of Lake's attorneys, said the decision not to fight the defamation claim placed the burden on Richer to prove how he was harmed. That, he said, included showing that any damage to Richard's reputation was caused by anything Lake did or said. He argued that there were plenty of other reasons the recorder suffered. What he said in his complaint was a, quote, decline in career prospects. For example, Lasota said Richard had made comments about Donald Trump, at one point calling the former president unhinged for accusing the county of deleting an elections database. Whatever the reason, Richard lost his bid for a new four-year term when he was defeated in the Republican primary by State Representative Justin Heap. The Mesa Republican then won the general election over Democrat Tim Stringham. But Richard also claimed actual expenses, like additional security for his home and family, he said was necessary because of threats, including calls for their execution. Then there are the damages, Richard said, to his reputation. And Daniel Maynard, his attorney, said in court filings that there was also the aspect of, quote, unjust enrichment. That, he said, is based on the amount of money both her campaign and her political action committee took in each time Lake made one of her false statements and then used those statements to solicit more donations on social media. In filing suit, he pointed to a website for her political action committee, which featured a 6-minute video of Lake discussing the 2022 election and accusing Richard of intentionally sabotaging the election. The site also asked visitors to, quote, donate to Kerry Lake and Save Arizona, seeking donations from $25 to $100,000. Maynard said at the time he believed that just between December 5th and December 24th, she raised hundreds of thousands of dollars through the Save Arizona Fund. That was a period when the trial judge, in a separate case Lake filed to challenge her election loss, determined that there was no evidence of fraud in the election, and Maynard said all the funds raised have been used to boost Lake's political ambitions. For example, Maynard said the Save Arizona Fund paid for campaign events in Iowa, where Lake met with voters. Quote, that follows a pattern where Lake has told her supporters that fundraising money was needed to contest the election, but then spent the money raised on other items, including more than $35,000 on travel and hotel accommodations, Maynard said. There also was something else that could have paved the way for a settlement. In admitting that she acted with actual malice, Lake opened herself up to having to pay punitive damages. These are awards designed not so much to compensate victims, but to punish those who are liable. You've been listening to the Arizona Capital Times, a production of Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. Once again, my name is John Coe. Thank you for listening.